This is the Passing for Normal podcast. I'm Jared.
And I'm Colleen. We're going to share our stories of life, death, grief, and everything in between, all through a colorful lens and a unique sense of humor. Hello, welcome to our travel episode. We just got home from a vacation of sorts, and so we figured that was a good topic to talk about. But before we jump into that, Jared, checking in with you on a scale of 1 to 10, how normal are you? Are you passing?
I'm not sure how normal I am, but probably a 6 or 7-ish. That's kind of my norm, I think.
So like a 7 is normal as you ever get?
I think so, a little bit, yeah.
We're going to try to do this. We'll see if this helps. I feel like, you know, some days are better than other, or different. Days are different.
Days are different. What about you?
Well, I would say up until about 5 hours ago, I was like at a 1 or a 2 on the feeling normal thing. Like I was feeling really, really not normal. But we've had a really nice day. Hmm. And I feel like I'm like at a 9.
Yeah, nice.
So it's fascinating. We've had just a lovely, we went grocery shopping.
It's very exciting.
We walked our dog and took him to the park and I made soup. And man, that made me feel a lot more normal.
Yeah.
Good. Before that, I was raging against all of society.
Right.
I was literally like, before we went to the grocery store, in the van, like we went to get a pair of shoes at Vans, and I saw the kids' shoes and I started crying. And
yeah.
Also, it happens that we go get groceries at the, in Sydney, there was a recent stabbing that was very tragic. Six people died.
Yeah.
And so that's where we get groceries. So this was our first time back there. That nothing about that felt normal.
Yeah, that's definitely, it was a little surreal to be going back in there, but.
But hey, you got to keep living. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You can't, I mean, you can. I choose not to.
Choose not to what?
To stop living.
Oh, wait, right.
Do I choose to not stop? I keep living.
Yeah, you choose to not stop.
Yeah.
Totally.
So that's what we've been up to. Travel. Have we been back for a week?
We've been back for a week already. Yeah. But it's gone quick.
Yeah. I guess Chloe's still. So let me preface this. I think most of the people listening, I'm going to assume, are in the Northern Hemisphere. That's just where most people that we know are. So in the Southern Hemisphere, where we live, which that doesn't feel normal at all. In Sydney, we are in fall. It's April. And our daughter is on 2 weeks for break for fall. So in the school system in Sydney, the school year starts in February. And then there's the first term. And then there's a break, which is fall break in April.
There's 4 terms. Right.
Yeah. And then there's another term.
Yeah.
And then winter break is in July.
Right.
And then you go back. That's 2 weeks. And then you go back to school. And then spring break is in October. And then the end of the school year is mid-December.
Yeah.
And then you're on summer break.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been here over a year and I'm still mentally trying to get my head around how the seasons work. So we're on fall break, which is really exciting because I love fall so much.
Me too.
And we decided to go somewhere. So a lot of our travel has been far. Last year, we went to Europe twice.
Yeah, I mean, it's to Europe.
Because that feels, I think that's the place that feels most like home to us.
Or the States. You went back to the States a couple times last year.
That did not feel like home.
No.
That was not fun. lower. I did go to the States. That was, yeah, that was exhausting. We'll just leave it there. wait, why? Where? Yeah, no, some of it was fun. Mm-hmm. It was just also, I don't know, just more exhausting, the travel. Anyway, so we're having to figure out how to travel within Australia. So there's so many layers to this. One, we're having to figure out how to travel in Australia, but like not as Americans. So if you live in California, like we did for most of our life, if you're an American and you travel to Australia, it's like a 2 or 3 week thing, maybe. I mean, come on. Do Americans have that long to take off?
No.
You're here for like 8 days, maybe, and you hit the Great Barrier Reef in Sydney and maybe
Melbourne.
But there's often not a lot of time to do. So there's a lot here, right? So we had thought about traveling. A lot of the people who live here travel to Bali and Japan.
Indonesia, New Zealand.
I hear a lot, but what I hear about is Bali belly, where everyone gets sick, and that doesn't appeal to me at all.
No.
Also, I don't want to travel. I think we traveled so much last year. I have slowed down so much. Like, I have really, like...
By last year, you mean when we lived in Europe?
Okay, so that was 2 years ago?
2022, yeah.
That wasn't last year.
It wasn't last year.
Okay.
Last year, we did a little bit of travel locally. We went up to North Queensland.
And we went to the Great Barrier Reef.
Great Barrier Reef.
That was super fun.
The Daintree Rainforest, which was amazing.
Yep.
So that was cool. So we've done a little bit
of... And that was with friends also.
That was with friends. So we've done a little local travel, let's say.
Yeah, I think that was, what, 3 or 4 nights away?
Yeah.
It's like a 90-minute flight in 3 nights.
Yep.
So that was the extent of our Australian travel. And also, we're still learning how to do things as normal people without a wheelchair. I know it's been 3 years, but you have to realize that for maybe, well, Claire was 15, so the 15 years before that, we didn't travel much, especially together. And you really don't realize that until you start to travel together. I feel like when the girls were younger, you would go on trips, I would go on trips, and then we would travel to hospitals together, like for when we went to Boston for the clinical trials. Those were longer trips, and we would be together, but we were also, like, the main event was going to the hospital every day and doing the clinical study.
Yep.
I think we went to Hawaii, mm-hmm. and we went on a cruise. But I think the number of trips that were like a fun family vacation,
yeah, they're pretty,
were like less than 5.
Yeah, few and far between for sure.
I mean, there was like some visiting families, going back for your mom's funeral, but like not like holiday travel.
No.
So yeah, so this is kind of new and kind of exciting. Also, like, okay, we're in Australia. Where do we go? So I happened to, many miracles happened in life. And in this episode, it was that I befriended someone at the coffee shop who I asked about Tasmania, because I've heard people talk about Tasmania and it sounded really cool. And this guy, I think, has very similar taste to us. And he kind of clued us in on his preferences. So we kind of stole his ideas.
And can we jump in and, like, so Tasmania, for everyone out there, Tasmania is not where Dracula's from.
That's Transylvania.
Tasmania is where the Tasmanian devil is from.
But it's not desert like in the cartoons.
It's not desert. Tasmania is an island on the south part of Australia, off the south coast of Australia.
It's right above the Antarctic Circle.
It's a bit above the Antarctic Circle. And it's a little bit below Melbourne. And it is part of Australia. It's a state of Australia. It's an island state that's pretty big. You could probably drive across it in 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
So it's not massive, but it's not small either.
I feel like it's smaller than the Big Island of Hawaii.
I think it's bigger. It's way bigger than the Big Island. Really? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a lot less people there.
Yeah, it's way bigger than Hawaii.
Huh.
But it reminds...
They act like it's smaller.
Yeah. It reminded me a lot of Oregon. There's a lot of forest and logging and like some wine country and rugged coastline and kind of this mix of stuff there.
Okay, so I feel like Tasmania says it's wine country. And I feel like we were duped. This has happened a few different times where we've been like, oh, like just because wine comes from a region doesn't mean it should. I don't want to say too much more.
I'm sure there's some decent wine there. The one we happened to go to, we weren't overly impressed with.
I don't know. I feel like...
I mean, we're also a little biased having lived for a decade in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Yeah, but and the wine in Europe is better and cheaper.
What you have to pay
in the quality you get in Tasmania. Like, here's what I don't understand. How is the wine in the Australian wine in California cheaper than the Australian wine in Australia? That's what doesn't get me. Like, when we lived in Austria, the Austrian wine was cheap. It was great. Like, if you go to France, you can get a decent bottle of wine for €4.
Yeah.
But you're never going to get a bottle of French wine that is that equivalent here because it costs money to ship it. And what right. I will never understand why the wine here is so expensive considering it's made here. But anyway, that's not part of our travel. This is what you learn. It's weird. I can't figure it out. This is like one of the things where I don't know if they're just like taxing it really heavily.
I think production costs are just so high here because everything is so expensive here.
They should find better things to do with that. In my opinion, there's lots of really good white wine that's made in other places. Sorry, Tasmania, you're lovely. But anyway.
It wasn't the only thing we did. So,
also, it doesn't rain there. Like, anyway, okay. But what we did do was amazing.
We flew down to Hobart.
Which
Hobart is a little port city on the southern tip of Tasmania.
Yep.
And what did we do there?
And we went to a museum, which I loved because I really needed, I mean, the suburbs have been weighing on both of our souls.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just this like Truman Show sort of joke that feels like life. And we just needed a change and I hadn't been sleeping well. So we went to Hobart and went to this awesome museum and I love museums. Oh, I love museums. And this one was wild. And this guy was a gambler. He made all of his money gambling.
What's the name of it, the museum?
The Mona.
The Mona.
And he made his money gambling. And so he's a very eclectic man who has made this very fascinating. It was a very modern art.
Very modern.
There's this room for women. The only, like, part of the art is this lady telling men they can't go in.
Someone had told me that there was just a lawsuit, that someone had raised a lawsuit about that.
Really?
And it was a guy.
Of course.
Who wanted to go see what was in there.
I mean, it's just like a curtain and you go back and there's...
Yeah.
Was it a Picasso or...
I think you said it was a Picasso.
There was this beautiful art. I remember what it... Gosh, I think it was Picasso. But there's this beautiful, it's just, there's some nice green velvet couches and some beautiful art.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing really exciting. It's just more that, I think the point is just that men can't go in. That is the art. Like, that's like the purpose. Like, I think the art that they're trying to show is like more, it's the men's reaction. That's the art.
And the way they had it set up, because it was right next to the vagina wall.
That's true.
With all the vaginas on it.
Mm-hmm.
Plaster molded vaginas.
Which and you then, really had to get up close to understand what that was.
Right. And then on the other side
was a car,
a Porsche that looked like it had gotten fat and droopy. And
it looked like it had eaten too much McDonald's every day forever. Right.
So I think they put those things next to each other so that us guys that were being excluded from this exhibit could have something to go do.
To look at the Porsche.
To go look at the fat Porsche.
Yeah, which maybe like think about that. That was a whole... Anyway, I loved just seeing what someone else is trying to get you to think about, you know.
I found it overwhelming.
Oh, yeah.
Which we talked about a lot.
You hated it.
Because so much of it was experiential. It wasn't just looking at art. You were actually part of the experience. So you, like, you were part of the artwork.
Yeah.
The artwork was part of your involvement.
Right.
And so it was very experiential, very sensory. And it was for me, quite overwhelming.
Right. So, of course, the thing that I love and gives me life, Jared's like, this is terrible. yeah, and Chloe, I think once we got her headphones, she managed it better. Yeah.
But it's still super cool place, really amazing, thought-provoking.
Yeah. Jared and I can't agree on anything. One of us loved it, the other of us hated it. The food afterward was really good.
Food was amazing.
The food was great. We both agree on that.
Yeah. Okay, so then we did and then, the museum.
And then we tried to find groceries. So we knew that we were going... Okay, so I have a history. Guys, pray for Jared. Jared professionally organizes things. Is that what... Can we say that? What do you do?
Operations.
Operations. Yeah, like you make sure that like things are in order. You pay attention to details.
That there's a process flow and things happen.
Yeah. I am chaos. And I am also in charge of planning the family vacations, which I don't know why. I mean, like, it's I need to be the person who does it because I'm also the Enneagram 7 and the fun one. But I'm really bad at details. And so I managed to book hotels and rental car for a different day than I booked flights. So there was some confusion. It all worked out, but it probably would have worked out better if I booked the rental car and the hotel for the same day as the flights.
Would have worked, would have been good.
So that's always...
But like you said, it worked out great because our rental car wasn't actually a car at all.
Oh my gosh.
It was a big Ford truck. And in Australia, they bring in different models. And this was a Wildtrak, which you can't even get in North America. But it's like, I think somewhere between like a Ford Ranger and a Chevy Silverado. It's like a big truck, but they call it a ute here.
That's right. It's not a truck. It's a ute.
So we had the full Australia experience.
It was great.
Driving around in our...
Bright orange,
right-hand drive.
Right-hand drive, ute.
Ute.
Yeah, so we went full Aussie. Yep. And we knew that we were going to a hotel. Hotel's the wrong word. It was like a cabin.
It's a cabin.
Yeah. So it's like an unmanned property where they text you a code and then you go in, kind of like an Airbnb, but there's like six cabins.
It's like a main house with seven cabins kind of off
the side. And this is the sort of thing like when you're Americans and you travel in a new country, you stay with Marriott or something, and then you kind of... No, there's going to be a front desk. You know, this was not that. And so this was, I think, our first kind of leap into how Australians do things, which isn't too different. I'm sure there's things like this in the US, but yeah. This was, we didn't know, like, we understood it said that there, if depending on the weather, there could be no cell service or TV.
There's no Wi-Fi.
There is no Wi-Fi. Cell
service.
But like they're like kind of depending on the weather, your cell phone may or may not work.
Yeah.
But the pictures look pretty, and so I just went like full send, let's try. And it worked out. It was amazing. But also one of the things we learned living in Europe is there's not always food.
Where you're staying.
It's very possible.
Well, especially when you're staying at a secluded cabin on a remote part of the East Tasmanian coast.
Yeah, so we were like on Eastern Tasmania. There's no like, I think it was 90 minutes to Hobart. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't a lot of big towns in between those.
No, there was one little small town, Swansea, which was about 15 minutes north of where we were.
Yeah.
And so we had to run there for some basic necessities.
A hot water bottle.
Hot water bottle.
Hot water bottles are awesome. I am so embarrassed. The whole time I lived in America, I always used corded heating pads, like where you plug it in and then it eventually breaks and you throw it away. Hot water bottles are amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they went out of fashion in the U.S. We learned about those in Europe. They're very common.
I don't think they did in the U.S. I think maybe we just hadn't caught on to that trend, maybe.
You think that people were still using hot water bottles in the U.S.?
I think people still use them in the U.S.
I know my grandma had one, but I never saw one for sale. You know, like where they were selling the heating pads, I never saw the hot water bottles. Maybe right. I missed it. Anyway, so we were trying to find a grocery store that had healthier food options. And also we had no idea what the kitchen situation was. Like we knew it was not a big cabin. But man, we got like a can of beans and a pumpkin and some bread and butter.
And cheese
and Australian wine. We got Tasmanian wine.
Yeah.
And because I try. And so we like loaded up and like went out to this little place and it was amazing. Man, yeah, I love being in the middle of nowhere for a while.
It was really nice. Our terrace looked out over basically it's called the Great Oyster Bay, which is this huge bay in Tasmania. And we watched the sunrise every morning over the water.
Yeah, the it was really cabin amazing. Had curtains, but we didn't use them.
Yeah, you didn't have to because there's you just no like, one.
There's no light. So like no when light, the sun no, goes down, no then you just get cold and tired and climb in bed with your hot water bottle.
We were going to sleep at like 8 o'clock every night. Because yeah. The sun would go down.
Because it's fall.
We're like clicking into our circadian rhythm was like
on point.
Linking up with just
we were so in light. Touch with the sun and the earth. And then I would go out and do yoga at sunrise on the deck. And it was really lovely.
It was.
Also, you loved it. It was hard for me.
It was great. I love sitting on a porch with my feet up looking at the ocean while reading a good book.
This was a really hard vacation for me. Mm. I love getting up and doing yoga at sunrise. Like I like nature, but man, it's really hard for me to just go out and do nothing.
How so?
I recharge at like museums. And
yeah.
I think part of it is that my daily life is just a lot slower than yours.
Because you're also extroverted.
I'm extroverted for sure.
So yes. There's an element of just being around other people that recharges you. Whereas mm-hmm. I'm introverted. So being by myself actually recharges me.
Right.
So you kind of just naturally.
Yeah. And now I'm like, honestly rethinking, like, why do we go on vacation together? I mean, I love you and I love experiencing things with you, me too. But I'm like, this makes no sense.
Yeah.
Maybe we should talk about that with our therapist. Put that on the list for... That
might be another episode.
For another episode or our after we hash it out with a professional. But yeah, it was hard to figure out that you really... The museum drained you. But then we went and did the...
Right.
And I mean, I love nature. But like, at the end of the trip... I didn't feel restored. Like I wasn't like, oh, my mind is clear and now I can think better. Right. I was like, oh.
Well, and I think it's part of our journey now. Like we were talking about how we traveled before with Claire, like the ability to just go somewhere and then sit and rest is still very foreign.
Yeah.
To us, we're still getting used to that because when we would go on, when we would travel, regardless of the reason, it was always thinking about Claire's medicine and food and all these things that we had seizures to schedule in. So like
stretching her legs and
even a holiday, you know, was like it had a lot of structure to it. It needed all the structure
for sure. Well, yeah, because she took medication 4 times a day and
So going to someplace and just sitting there with nothing to do and nothing on the agenda is still
it feels like hell. But it was really pretty.
It was super pretty.
And I did make myself busy making a nice little cheese board to have cheese and wine at sunset. And we played games and we went hiking a little.
and we ate oysters. And
oh my God, the oysters were the best. Okay, Mel's Shells Oysters in the middle of nowhere on the eastern coast of Tasmania. Best oysters ever.
It's like literally a little shack out in the middle of nowhere along the coast.
Yeah. And then we did go back and we spent one night in Hobart, which was an absolute disaster. After having this transformative experience being linked to the sun with watching the sunrise and the feeling the darkness, we went to a hotel that was, funny enough, an actual Marriott property. Like, this is more like my American kicking in when I booked this one. And I'm going to call it a dungeon room is what we got. It was like an, like.
Well, why did we have to get that room?
Because of Chloe. So outside of the U.S., hotel rooms are big enough for two people, often. This is something we hit right. in Austria or in Europe all the time.
Yeah.
Hotel rooms are smaller. And so, like, if you have a child with you, you have to pay to get a much bigger room.
Yeah.
Or that get two has rooms. Space or get two rooms. And this just, it was more cost effective to get the bigger room that was upgraded. And you think, like, okay, it's like the last night of our what is the travel called?
Holiday
vacation. And you know, the little cabin with barely a kitchen was quite cost effective. So we stayed at this place. We upgraded to like the deluxe room. It was at street level and it was really fancy, and it had these curtains, like wooden shutters.
Yeah, blinds.
But they were electronic. And so like the controls were on this like pad on the wall, and they could be open or closed, but it lacked the ability to like have them tilted a little.
Right.
So if you were in the bathroom, a beautiful bathroom, beautiful bathtub, a big window next to the bathtub. But if you wanted any sunlight to tell your brain it was daytime, there was people looking in, like there's right. people walking on the like side. It's right a busy there. Street. Sure, you couldn't hear it. It was pretty soundproof.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
But if you wanted any sunlight, it meant people looking in at you, which I was kind of irritable because I had just been like in, you know, 4 days of trying to rest doing nothing, which I hate. And then we got that room and I was just done. We'll go back and we'll do it again, and we'll only stay at the nice place out at the water, and I'll probably practice doing nothing and slowly get better at it.
You did great.
Maybe I'll find more things to do out there. I don't know. Maybe I should like line rocks up or something. I probably could have made a project for myself, but I'm really trying to like, you know, nourish my nervous system and whatever.
So then what is your ideal holiday trip?
In the mountains of Austria skiing.
Because that's in the wilderness.
With skiing.
With skiing.
Yeah. You wake up, there's a nice breakfast, there's coffee from heaven. And then you go skiing in Austria. That's nice. It's so pretty.
It is.
I've only done this once in my life, you should know. I learned how to ski this year. not because I've ever wanted to learn how to ski, but because Chloe learned how to ski. And I wanted to be with her. And so Jared can't ski because he has like a thing on his hip that doesn't let his body ski. So, but now that I've done it, it's all I want to do. Like, I understand now why the Austrians are so obsessed with skiing, because it's awesome. So that's my idea of a good time.
Right.
And I think it works well because then I can go skiing with Chloe and then you can stay and read and not be by people.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, you know? It works.
Or hiking in the mountains in Austria is also. Our trip to Switzerland was great. I wish we had just stayed in Austria, but the whole just like going around in the mountains and walking up mountains is great.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, my idea of a good time is just staying at a hotel. I'd like to unpack once.
Do you like going to cities though? Because we also went to some cities when we lived in Europe. Or do you like the nature, the more nature oriented? I really like the nature
more. Yeah. It's interesting because I did love the Mona.
Yeah.
But I feel like culturally Austria is different than that. I don't know what it is about it. Man, I just really want to sit up in a little hut up on an alm and have frittatensuppe and cold beer.
Yeah.
That's like every day.
It's pretty epic.
I just, yeah. However you get, either you hike there in the summer or you ski there in the winter. And I think that would be, that's like my ideal. What's your ideal vacation?
Ooh. Yeah, definitely one not with a lot of people in a crowded area.
Austrian mountains, man.
Austrian mountains. I think I went to the Isle of Man.
That's right.
And that was amazing. And that
there was people there, though.
There was people there, but not a massive amount of people.
Really? You were there for the TT.
I was there for the TT.
Which is a pretty big deal.
Which are for everyone, is a motorcycle race they've run for over 100 years around the island on public roads. And it's an amazing event. But yeah, like they're like green pastures and flowing hills and little wooded areas. It's like fairy tale land.
Think we can agree no more cruise ships for us?
Cruise ship would be the other no-go for sure.
Yeah, we've done that. Amazing. We did it with the kids. It was great.
And it was a Disney cruise.
Absolutely. Like what we actually didn't contribute to our IRA 1 year. Like this was an irresponsible decision.
Or responsible, however you.
Yeah, I mean,
you could.
I'm so glad we made it because would I trade that money in the IRA for the memories we had with Claire?
Yeah.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Like.
Right.
Especially that we did it in 2019.
Right.
And then this is like our last vacation really before
COVID.
We were just starting to learn how to vacation actually.
Yeah, we were.
And we took this trip and it was amazing. And then COVID happened. And then, then there's no more trips with Claire.
Yep.
Yeah. We did take her up to, we went up to San Francisco also in January of 2020. But, okay. So we did that Disney cruise. We know what is involved with that. We will never do one again.
Yeah, no. I think as we like,
I don't even want to go to Disneyland again. I know you.
I know. I have mixed. I mean, I love Disneyland, but you know, every time I go there, the first 30 minutes, I like freak out from all the people and then I kind of like relax into it.
Yeah. I think part of why I don't want to go anywhere right now is honestly, Australia's broken me. I am so over flying. I took too many trips last year to places that were too long of a flight. Like, I think I went to the US 3 times last year. From Australia?
2 or 3 times?
From my mom's. 3 times. I went to Arizona twice, and I went to California once.
Yeah. Yeah, 3 times.
2 of them were because people I love died.
Right.
Actually, all 3 of them were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 3 times to the States and twice to Europe.
And twice from Australia. From Australia. Which I recognize the ability to travel like that is such a privilege. I feel terrible complaining. Because there are people in Australia that don't get to leave. That I get to go to Europe is amazing. And that I got to go back to, you know, to be with family after my mom passed is good.
Sure, but that much travel will break anyone.
I never want to travel again. Yeah, like for even sure. I mean, all I want to do is sit in an Austrian hut and I'm not going to. Because it's too far of a flight. Like, we're not going in July. We could go in July, but we are not. We're just going to go to California because that's closer.
And I feel like we're missing California a bit and Santa Cruz and tacos.
Yeah, you and Chloe are. I'm going with you because you want to go. Honestly, in July, I would just stay here. I would go back down to if I had to choose.
Really?
I would probably just go to Tasmania.
You just go to Tassie.
Tassie, but
as they call it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, even though it wasn't like my favorite.
Yeah.
There was enough of it. I just like not flying for 15 hours.
Sure.
So, anyway, so that's travel within. That was a kind of a long description of a boring trip. Favorite trips things that we learned traveling in Europe?
I think it was go slow if you can and get out of the tourist areas. They're tourist areas for a reason, because there's normally really cool things to see. But if you can get out of there and into the local neighborhoods and the local areas, and really, that's where you really get a flavor for the local places. And I think that was really nice to do.
Yeah. Like if tour buses go there, don't go there.
Right.
If it's on TripFinder, don't go there.
Yeah.
Also, I think one of my favorite kind of tips, though, when we did go to cities and like touristy places, was to hire a good guide.
Yeah.
The beginning of the trip. Like, Pete in London was amazing.
He was a London taxi driver.
And also a guide, everything. And he just knew everything. And the things that he told us, we would have never... And, like, London has so much.
Right.
I mean, where do you start? And then our guide, Chloe and I in Athens... You weren't there for that one. But when Chloe and I went to Athens, we had a lady for a day. And, oh, my goodness, that was absolutely incredible to have. Like, especially places that are historical.
And Florence. Our guide in Florence was amazing.
Yeah, because we love art history.
Yep.
And I think we could have like fumbled around, but she took us to this like Giotto that nobody was by. Like she's like, nobody looks at this. It's the oldest art in Florence, I think. It was an original by Giotto. It was beautiful. I wept.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't it. It was Mary after like Jesus died.
Yeah. Yep.
And I really kind of, I don't know, there was like this like mourning mother vibe that really came through, and I really appreciated, but we would have, I mean, oh gosh. Yeah. Florence was so much better because of our guide.
Yeah. So the key is to like get a guide at the beginning of your time there, and then you can kind of customize it after that, because they give you a good like overview of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah. And also do less. That's the other thing is I hear a lot of people who travel. The trip from America to Europe is so long and you don't get to do it often. I think a lot of people often feel like, it's like go to like Paris and Rome and Athens. And you're like, what are you doing? Like, I know it sounds like they're all together because they're on the same continent, but I think if you can do less, better.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm at a place, maybe now I can say this just because we've seen so much. I actually want to see less now. I'm okay with the things I haven't seen.
Yeah.
And I want to enjoy the things that I do get to do better.
Right.
Versus trying to see everything.
Yeah, we've definitely gone into more of a like narrow and deep experience than kind of wide and shallow.
Yeah.
Like we find it better to just, if you're going to go to London, go to London for a longer period and just be there or wherever you're going to go, instead of trying to hit four different major places in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But that was part of kind of the, We were fortunate in that we had the time to do that.
For sure. Living in Europe is for sure the way to see Europe. It's a lot easier when flights are, you know, 120 euros and you have a 4-day weekend.
Yeah.
And it's an hour and a half flight.
Yeah, anywhere in Europe.
Yeah, that was... I don't know why we'd want to go back there. Versus the 15 hours to get anywhere from here. Anyway. Okay, travel with Claire. There may be people listening who are living like the special needs life. My biggest thing would be to do it. To do what you can, right? Yeah, like if flying is too hard, drive. If spending the night overnight is too hard, take a day trip. Yeah. But try.
Yeah, just go and like make the memories.
My gosh, And because I have friends whose children had the same disability that Claire had, have Rett syndrome, and travel has been a nightmare for them. So it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
And I think there's definitely like different seasons in life. I think the older the kids get, the easier it gets. Mm. If you start young, it tends to be easier than starting later, I think. I think Chloe is an amazing traveler now because she was raised kind of on an airplane.
Yeah.
I mean, like, right, because when we were going to Boston, she was taking some big trips at a pretty young age. And, yeah, but I think we used stuffed animals, blankets, and pillows to, like, prop Claire up in a seat.
Mm-hmm.
In all kinds of different places, right? Like, get creative. We would actually check with the occupational therapist about, like, okay, we're going to travel. Like, how do we do positioning? Like, what things can we do? Walk us through changing a diaper, getting her dressed on a bed that's at a height that's not great. Like, help us strategize that, you know, kind of plan those things out. Man, I was so much better at details when Claire was alive. I don't think I ever booked flights and hotels on different days.
No.
Just realizing, like, I was capable of that. Yeah, there was a time when my brain worked better. Run down. Like, if you get pre-boarding with the wheelchair, run. Don't walk. Because it's fun. It's a ramp. At least Claire. Chloe would love to. Oh, it was, like, always so scary. But Chloe, we would let our youngest push the wheelchair sometimes in the airport faster than what was probably wise, but it was fun. And then the first time we ever went down the jetway without the wheelchair and we just like had to be in like the regular line. Oh my gosh, what adjustment that was.
Super weird. Yep.
But yeah, I think it's possible.
It's possible. And every family is like different with their own needs. And so, like, I mean, we could throw out tips and tricks, but like, it's so different for everyone.
Yeah.
But if you can, like you said, if you can do it.
Oh, do okay. It. One thing though, that I do not know that everybody knows, I assume this is international. I know it's in the US and in Canada. If you are traveling with someone who's medically fragile, and you have medical equipment like diapers, wipes, formula, mm-hmm. G-tube supplies. If you can put one braces, like
AFOs,
like
leg braces, or braces.
If there's a scoliosis, what's like the turtle brace?
A torso brace.
Yeah. If you pack all medical supplies in one bag, the airline doesn't count that against your checked luggage.
That's cool.
Also take enough for like a solid 48 hours on the plane. Always like meds and everything always goes with you. But all extra backup type things, if you put all medical supplies in one bag, they can't charge you to check medical supplies.
That's a good tip.
Ooh, we should maybe try that when we bring Claire's wheelchair back. Claire's wheelchair is still in California because we were afraid that the boat would sink.
We would lose our container with our stuff in it.
We like shipped a container of things here and it was all things that you had to know would be okay at the bottom of the ocean. You know, it happens. I know people whose their containers have fallen off of ships.
Yeah.
And so Claire's wheelchair, we still need to bring back, but I think we're going to do that in check luggage. Anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In Australia, if you are traveling as a caregiver with someone who is disabled, there's all sorts of like discounts. Like if Claire were to fly in Australia, my airfare with her would be half off.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Australia has all these sort of like discounts and things like that.
Yeah, can we talk about flying in Australia for a sec?
Oh, yeah.
Like how easy it is and
it's
how
wild.
It's like security is super quick and it's almost like a bus terminal. Like you don't have to take off your shoes. You can carry water on through security. It's very casual. They still, there's still
you
security.
You can go through if you don't casual. Have, they don't check tickets.
Yeah.
So like you can go through security if you don't have a flight.
Oh, right. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't check tickets, do they?
No, there's like people at the gate greeting people, or there's people at the gate saying goodbye. At the gate.
Wow.
Like it was like that in 1995 in America. Yeah, I was going to
say, it really is like the California in the 90s.
Before here. 9/11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you can take water through security, which is amazing.
But just different. Very casual.
You can take open bottles of alcohol through.
Can you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because when we went up to the Great Barrier Reef, we looked into that. We were traveling with friends. That was fun. We didn't do anything not malicious. Like we weren't...
Irresponsible?
We weren't irresponsible.
Yeah.
We weren't troublemakers.
Totally.
We had fun. So, all right. I think, so that's traveling. We're in Australia. None of this feels normal. The more I talk about this, I'm feeling back to my one. Oh, that I live in Australia and that I've ever been to Europe is just so weird. But here we are.
Here we are.
So.
And happy to be doing it with you.
Yes. And I was happy to go to Tasmania with you. I'll go again. It's really good seeing you be rested.
It's nice to be rested. It's nice to rest for sure.
And I can rest at home. Like, I don't have a demanding life. I don't really, like, I don't even need to go on vacation other than I just get bored here. Anyway, that's for another day. I'll talk about how I just sit and look at trees.
There you go. We'll have a tree episode.
Yeah, we'll have a tree episode. If there's anything that you're curious about, we are on Instagram at passing_for_normal. Is that the name?
Yep.
Yep, that's our name. We're on Instagram. If you want to send us any messages, feedback, I'd love to hear. I'm just so curious if anyone's listening. Yeah, we're doing all right.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
One day at a time.
Hey, though, our next episode is going to be about bereaved Mother's Day.
All right.
So tune in next week. And then the episode after that, I don't know. Do we do like a bereaved Mother's Day episode and like a regular Mother's Day episode? I have so much to say about these topics. So, all right. We were over time. This is ridiculously long. I apologize. Thank you so much. Hope you have a good day.